Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talking some NFL now. Andrew Brandt, columnist for the MMQB and The Athletic. Andrew, I was having the audience, you know, I was seeing if anyone was brave enough to try some battle raps before. I'm sure that's not something you want to get into right now. So I will spin it to straight football talk. And, you know, I know so often, you know, it referenced and it's referenced with you, your time with Green Bay. But because they're relevant, how would you handle the Aaron Rodgers situation coming up right now? When you have an injury like that and an organization has so much invested in one player, is it short-sighted to think too much about this week?
Yeah, morning, Robin. I you know, last week, watching Aaron's performance as a legend grows, I'm feeling like, okay, yeah, this is about right. This is what he does. And it just shocked me that he was more effective against the Bears being immobile than he was mobile. So you just see what happens with him. Yeah, I mean, I think this is not uncommon when you talk about superstars and keeping things under wraps. You know, it's just something where you have a player that has, I don't know, a sprained knee, and there doesn't seem to be any CL attached to this, whether MCL, PCL, LCL, of course ACL. So unless we're missing something or not being told something, I just think we're looking at a player that they want to keep as, I don't know, as under wraps as possible until they have to. Listen, we know the Vikings are expecting to play against Aaron Rodgers, and I think we expect him to play. But the short-term, long-term really has to be a medical decision. I was hearing from Rodgers after the game that in the halftime workout, doctors said he couldn't make it worse. Hmm. So if you're hearing that, then I think
plan,
you know,
sure,
you have medical clearance.
Well, that definitely makes a lot of sense. And something else that makes a lot of sense is your sort of perspective on how long players should sit, considering Aaron Rodgers' experience. I've seen you tweeting about this, where obviously he is from a different era, and of course he was in a unique situation behind Brett Favre. But we've seen so many quarterbacks now thrown into the fire, which I actually think makes sense for the most part, and there's no better way to learn than actually doing it. But it can also lead to tricky spots like Josh Allen, right, in Buffalo.
Yep.
I don't know I don't think they can make a right decision with their quarterback because Nathan Peterman is not good. Their team is terrible, and you know, you want to develop Josh Allen, but you also don't want to ruin him. Is that how it is, a case by case basis, when you're talking about when these young guys should play?
Yeah, two things. And back to the story, the question of sitting versus playing and long term, I think I'm talking to you from Philadelphia. I think that's going on right now here. Could Carson Wentz probably play? Yes. Does he need to play three or four games now if you're talking about a 10 to 12 year career or 20 year career even? Of course not. And the Eagles probably have the best backup in the NFL. So it's a no-brainer to me what Philadelphia is doing, trying to hold off on playing Carson Wentz until he's 100% absolutely positively ready, which may be next week, which may be October, who knows. In terms of the young quarterbacks, you know, it's interesting. I'm writing about this for Sports Illustrated this week, Robin. I just think that Aaron Rodgers, in my firsthand, I saw him sit for 3 years. I don't think we'll ever see a first-round quarterback sit for 3 years. Now, I know we had Brett Favre, but there just seems to be more, I don't know if it's pressure, expectation to get these guys out there. We're in week two, and we've got three of the five first-round quarterbacks playing. Now Josh Allen, and of course Lamar Jackson being worked in with the Ravens, and then of course Sam Darnold. I don't think we're going to wait too long before we see the other two, Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen, play. Now, it may not be till Halloween or after, but we'll see. And that is the norm now. That's the new normal. And we can come up with a lot of different reasons, impatience. You know, and it should be counterintuitive because in the past, before the new CBA, you paid these guys so much money, you want to get them out there. Now you're paying them a lot, but nothing like before. But still, it just seems like get them going. That seems to be the new way.
Robin Lundberg talking to Andrew Brandt, columnist for the MMQB and The Athletic here on CBS Sports Radio. Do you expect to see, you know, with that in mind, we haven't seen Baker Mayfield yet, right? We heard Drew Brees talking him up this week. Do you expect to see him sooner rather than later?
I do. I mean, listen, Tyrod Taylor got a tie. That's a big win for the Browns, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they got a tie, which is huge. But yeah, I watched that game. He didn't play very well. I thought he ran well. I don't think he played well as a thrower. So, yeah, I think that's coming. But, you know, Tyrod's making $16 million. But that seems to be the way people are going, whether it's Sam Bradford or Josh McCown or A.J. McCarron. It's just kind of a placeholder, these guys, and they'll pay them. The teams will pay them just to kind of clear the deck. And the question is, Tyrod Taylor is a placeholder for how long? Up to 16 games, because he's not on contract next year. And we know Mayfield's starting next year. But I think it'll be before that.
Now, I also always enjoy getting your perspective on the business side of things. Obviously, you spent some time as an agent and have analyzed all this stuff. Of course, one of the big business, I guess, points of view when it comes to the NFL this year has been the Kaepernick Nike ad. We see, you know, Nike's stock way up. And it sort of proves a point I think I've been trying to make for a while, which I've always said it seemed like the NFL or whomever was placating to a certain group of the audience and not realizing how broad the audience as a whole was, because I always maintained the people who don't have a strong opinion either way or are in support of Kaepernick, I think, far outnumber the people who are against everything that surrounds that. But when you see a Michael Kendrick signing, is that yet another one that happens where you almost have to invoke Colin Kaepernick and what's going on with his situation, or do you continue to separate that as an entity on its own now because of how big it's become?
Well, a couple things on Kaepernick. First of all, the collusion suit continues. I think that's a good news for him that it continues. It's going to be a tough climb. If there was a smoking gun, I think we would have seen it by now. Collusion requires two teams to have an agreement or the team in a league to not sign him. I don't think there is that. Do I think he's going to win a collusion suit? No. Do I think teams are being punitive? Yes. So that's where I am on Kaepernick. The Nike ad obviously resonated with people. Stock is up. I tweeted out Kaepernick needs to renegotiate that Nike contract because they're making a lot more money on it than he is. You know, the Kendricks thing, I think you have to look at a little differently because they are taking a chance on someone, but it doesn't have the impact, polarization that a Kaepernick does. You know, Kendricks is a weird case because there's no precedent, Robin. We've never seen an insider trading case.
I would have expected it from an owner, not from...
Right, exactly. So the Seahawks call the league. They say, can we sign him? Can he practice? Can he play? And they say yes. He's scheduled for sentencing in January. He may get a suspension before that, but the Seahawks have a low-risk contract that go week to week. It is a kind of weird, but if you look at it from a business point of view, the Seahawks are like, okay, well, he's free to play. Oh, a lot of teams may not sign Michael Kendricks, but they're one that will.
Yeah, while we're on the business stuff, real quick, where do you or how do you see the Le'Veon Bell situation resolving itself?
That has surprised me because as a former agent, as you mentioned, I don't know if I could advise him to miss $885,000 a week. Looks like 2 weeks now. You know, that's going to be $1.7 million. I don't know how you make that up. Now, I know, you know, he's saying less touches, you'll get a bigger deal next year. I don't get it. I don't think he's going to get a different contract in 2019 because he has 200 touches versus 400 touches in 2018. I don't think so. I think teams are going to judge him on what he's done and not say, yeah, you know, you missed those games, so we're going to pay you more. I just don't see it. So I don't get the strategy. I've been wrong 2 weeks now, but I'll predict again. He comes in Monday or Tuesday.
Andrew Brand, appreciate your perspective as always. Thanks for the time this morning.
You got it, Robin.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.